of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And so here Jonah, guys, Jonah ran from God. Now you just can't do that. I mean, that's an impossibility. You think about it. But in Jonah's mind, he thought that God would let him get away with disagreeing with God. But he did not, as we know the story, we know that God did not let Jonah get away with it. But Jonah ran from God in disagreement. Let me tell you what will cause you to run from God also: disagreeing. You see, it's not just a backslider that gets in sin. It's not just a backslider that leaves the church. It's not just a backslider that falls and fails and falls in a pit. It's not just a backslider that quits this or quits that. It's a kind of the direction of a backslider starts with someone who's disagreeing with God. When you disagree with God about this direction and you choose not to go this direction and you choose to go that direction, that's the opposite from doing the will of God. That is not following God in our lives. And so there's that disagreement. That's what happened to Jonah. Whatever caused him to do this, I don't know. And there's so much in this as a pastor and as a... let me just say this, not trying to brag, but as a saved, born-again individual for a lot of years who have taught to follow God and has strived to follow God and honor God and stay right and all that type of stuff, I can understand getting to a place where maybe in Jonah's life he desired the supernatural. You ever thought about that for Jonah? We're all bad on Jonah, but maybe he was down and out. Maybe he desired to see revival, but never seen it yet. And then God sends him to this wicked, ungodly city that these hateful, sinful people in the city of Nineveh, they did all kinds of wickedness and all kinds of brutalization, all kinds of sacrifice of babies and animals, and all kinds of junk was going on there. It was a very sinful place and sensual as far as satanic influence that place of Nineveh was, and God said go there. And well, I've learned that God wants to make a miracle out of a mess. God wants to take some we call it God forsaken individual, God forsaken situation, and we say that because the situation is seems like God forsook it because the sourness or the sinfulness of the situation, it's because of the absence of God. You cannot remove God from anything. Anything. Had a guy the other day call me on my phone, and it was last Sunday, and they wanted to buy a camper and all that, I called him back, he didn't want something, whatever, didn't want to buy it. He's like, well, we talked a little bit, this, that, and other, back and forth. He said, can I tell you something that'll make you mad? And I said, well, probably not, but go ahead. Sure. That answer machine, that message you got on that answer machine, if you're going to sell campers, you should not mix God with that camper. You should not mix God with, if you're trying to include God in your camper sales, then what else are you going to be involved in that's going to be so bad that you'll try to... I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? I said, I just feel like God ought to be part of everything I do. I feel like God ought to be involved in everything I do. Amen. And he's like, well, I just... I was like, listen, you know, I thank you. You're not making me mad, you know. You can disagree, but I just believe that if I'm not going to lie to you about it. I'm not going to twit. I'm not going to do something dirty. I'm not trying to get something from God that like a beggar or trying to mooch or off of God. You know, I just think God ought to be part of everything. So bless your heart, amen. Here's Jonah's situation, and I have no idea where all that came from. Jonah ran from God. Jonah disagreed with God. And this was Jonah's number one mistake, is disagreeing with God. Jonah verse number 1 and 2 and 3, you find that he ran. And then I want you to look at this next. God tracked Jonah down. God just tracked him down. And because he can't run from God. This is man's ways, man's will versus God's way, God's will. And if you're going to be in agreement with God, you got to be in agreement with his will. So God tracked Jonah down. Amen. So Jonah's sin caught up with him. Right? You find what happens? There's a verse number 4. I'm going to read all this for sake of time. The Lord sent a great wind into the sea. God tracked him down. God sent a wind to the sea. Because it seemed like God was tracking him. God was following Jonah. He was not going to Nineveh. He was going to Joppa. He went to Tarshish. Went to Joppa. And all this, or was it Tarsus? Anyway, yeah, Tarsus then went to Joppa. He was going to Joppa. And God's like right behind him. I ain't going to let you get by with it. I ain't going to let you forget about what I want you to do. I'm going to keep, kind of like the Holy Ghost of God, right? Keep reminding you, talking to you, pricking you, telling you over and over again. Now, I believe Jonah, if he ever made it to Joppa, we understand that he was on the way and all that stuff. But, God didn't let him even make it there. I mean, there's a storm comes, a great wind and a storm, and you know what was happening? God tracked him down, and the sin that Jonah did, a disagreement with God, it caught up with him in the middle of a storm of his life. He's sleeping in a boat, and listen to this. Also, everybody else was affected by his bad decision. Everybody in the boat was affected by one man's decision, and all he did was disagree with God. Think about it. One, a father disagrees with God, affects the mother and children. A mother disagrees with God, affects the father and children. If you're in the home and you're a boy, young boy, young girl, and you disagree with God, I'm telling you, it affects everybody in the home. If you're in a workplace, I mean, if you're with somebody, not unless you live on the Isle of Patmos somewhere all by yourself, then it may not affect, it may affect the ants. I don't know. It may affect the monkeys. Right? I asked Clinton, I said, he came back this week. I said, you see your cousins over there, boy? He's like, what? I said, them monkeys. He's climbing the trees at the house, climbing the boards at the house when he was saying that. I said, you saw your cousins. Hey, I tell you, Jonah, God tracked him down. God discovered Jonah's sin. Jonah's sin was discovered, and he could not hide it. It was discovered to those that was with him. They were all in a mess together. His bad decision affected everybody else that was involved in that. But then thank God for His grace, God's grace. They look at verse number 6. So the shipmaster came to him and said to him, "What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not." And they said, everyone to his feller, "Come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us." So they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know what happens? Jonah tells them as they try to survive, and they try to keep the ship afloat and all that. Jonah tells them that he's a Hebrew and he fears God, and the reason that their storm and they're in this tragedy and this trouble is because of he ran from the presence of God. It says in verse 10, for the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord because he told them so. He's like, look, guys, I want to get on your boat, man. Let's go to Joppa. I'm running from God. He's like, all right, get on. Well, they all was affected by it. That's the second failure. God tracked him down and the sin caught up with him. And you see this bad decision. He stays in the boat. I mean, he's here. Then you know what happens? He tells them the only way you're going to get out of this is throw me overboard. They disagreed with it for a while, then pretty soon threw him overboard. Now this is what Jonah, I believe Jonah thought he was through. I believe Jonah disagreed with God. He knew God was grieved with him. He was grieved with God. He didn't think God would use him. What's the use? If he was a preacher and he did this, and I guess he was a preacher, amen, because he preached to Nineveh. He's a called, ordained. I don't know if he pastored a church. Maybe he's a worldwide evangelist. Have no idea. He disagreed with God, and evidently he thought God was done with him. He was just, throw me overboard. Just throw me overboard. I'm done. Amen. And I tell you what, disagreeing with God will get you to a mental place where you can't even think straight. And so he thought God was done with him, through with him. This was his third mistake because God wasn't finished with him yet. Amen. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord hath prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. That means God knew what Jonah was going to do. God knew, listen to me, God knew that Jonah was going to disagree with him. He knew that, he knows man disagrees with him. And so he prepares something in the future to get you back in agreeance with him so that you can go farther and do the will of God. God prepared a fish. Great fish, amen? Yes, the whale swallowed Jonah. Now, this was his second chance. Look in chapter 3. Then Jonah prayed. Chapter 2, Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. This chapter 2 is Jonah's repentance, his way, he repented, he turns back to God, in the fish's belly. Then chapter 3, the word of the Lord came into Jonah the second time. Thank God for second chances, amen? Well, praise God. God give him a chance to agree with what God wanted him to do. Now, notice here that what God wanted him to do didn't change. You say, well, I'm unqualified now. What God wanted him to do didn't change. Not for Jonah. Well, I smell like fish. I've got seaweed on my head. God spoke to him the second time. Thank God for second chances. Jonah rose, verse number 3, Jonah rose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was exceedingly great city, a 3 days journey. Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth and ashes, sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. Wow. His second chance brought his miracle. His second chance brought his supernatural, his experience with the supernatural. Now, this was a God-forsaken city. This is a godless, God-forsaken city. And because of what Jonah went through, let me say this, after Jonah went through what he went through, he experienced a work of God. Jonah had to get to a place where he had to agree with what God wanted him to do. Whether he had the money, whether he had the qualifications, whether he had the words, whether he had the message, whether he had the way, the transportation, whatever it was, God had it all figured out. And Jonah had to agree with God about this. And when Jonah got to a place where he agreed with God, God gave him that second chance. And Jonah was used as a channel, an avenue, to experience a supernatural work, a true revival that took place in Nineveh. But after these things, you see, you got to stay faithful in the you got to stay faithful in the storm. Not everybody runs from God. I mean, not like Jonah. Not everybody has experienced this dramatic experience like Jonah did. But you and I know that we have ran from God, and God has carried us to the woodshed, and God has tracked us down, and God is tracking us down. Amen. Thank God for His consistency and working in our lives. We've all experienced this. What an amazing thing I see out of Jonah's Jonah's life. Jonah went through all that. What are you going through? Everybody thinks if somebody goes through something, it's because they've sinned or done something wrong, but it's not always that you're running from God. But I'd like to say, a lot of times it is, and I think my own personal self, any time that there's something that takes place, I want to look at myself and say, Lord, am I right with you? Are you trying to tell me something? Are you trying to show me something? Are you trying to teach me something? We shouldn't ask God why, but we should learn to ask God, what are you wanting me to learn from this? Don't get caught up in the whys, but say, what's next? What do you want me to know? What are you trying to tell me? And here Jonah gets to a place where in the middle of his storm, he was not faithful. In the middle of his storm, he was not dependent. In the middle of his storm, he was not in agreement with God. And he got here because of disagreements. But in the middle of his storm, in the middle of the wells, the well down in the belly of hell, the Bible says, he repents and gets right with God and gets his heart right, his mind right. He had the mind of God again. He had the heart of God, and he wanted to get out of there, and he wanted to do God's will. Somehow, some way, I believe a fire started kindling his soul and his heart, where he would desire to see a great work again. And he, too, believed that God could do something to Nineveh when he got there. And when he got there, it was after the trouble. It was after the storm. Listen to me. It was after the winds. It was after the rain. It was after the whale's belly. It was after. It was after. If you'll stick with it through the situation, there is going to be an after. And you believe and agree with God that there'll be an after, amen? Amen, there was after the Red Sea, the children of Israel was going to Canaan land. Amen, after they was thirsty, God gave them water out of the rock. After they was hungry, God gave them manna from heaven. After, friend, after God told Abraham to put his son Isaac on the altar, God gave him a ram that was caught in a thicket. After they crucified Jesus and he was dead for 3 days and three nights, after then, he got up on the third day. What I'm trying to tell you is the supernatural will take place after the trouble and after the trial and after the test. So hang on until it's over. And there's going to be a hereafter. And the hereafter is where you experience, if as long as you agree with God, because God has to get you in the mind, in His mind, in His heart. He's got to get you to agree with Him. He's got to persuade you to say yes and amen to what He wants out of you, and He wants through you. He wants to do through you. You see, God just don't want you to be happy. He just don't want you to be prosperous. He just don't want you to have everything you need, but He wants to take you. He wants to bless you, but He wants to take you as a vessel. He wants to empower you as a person. He wants to use you as a servant of God. He wants to do something supernatural with your heart and your life. Maybe your mouth, maybe your ears, maybe your eyes, maybe your hands, maybe your feet, maybe your talents. Maybe God wants to do something with you. He wants to show His supernatural. He wants to you to be a channel to show, because He uses people. That's how He does. He could have did something supernatural without a man, without Jonah, when he went to Nineveh. I don't know how he did it. He could have done something supernatural without Moses. He could have done something supernatural without Elijah and Elisha. He could have done something supernatural without blind Bartimaeus begging for Jesus to be healed. He could have done something supernatural without men. But God chooses to use men to channel the supernatural so the world can see an impossibility, that He could take a weak, sinful, frail human being and do a miracle through a person. I'm not talking about laying hands on you and touching you. I'm talking about somebody believing and agreeing with God that God wants to do something. I'm not going to make up something that God wants to do. I'm not going to try to make up something and like those other denominations and other people to try to do. I'm talking about God doing something. So I want God to do it all. Amen? I believe you can put the Word of God to a test. I believe you can put it, and you can put it. His Word is powerful. I believe that. But I'm not going. And I believe you can prove God. I believe you can prove His Word. But when you go taking it out of context, and you get it out of agreement with God and agreement with you, and you're going to use it wrongfully, and then you don't see the. You don't see the miracle. You don't see what you thought you was going to see. Then it hurts those that were looking. Causes unbelief. Somebody help me. So what do? We still believe God. We're seeking the supernatural. But we are striving to live in obedience with what God wants in our life. Walking from day to day, step by step. Asking God to reveal Himself. If God chooses to use you to go to Nineveh, then go, amen. Just agree with God. Because His ways are higher than mine. Amen? This was a but God, amen. I would have been lost on the way to hell but God. Amen? Nineveh would have been gone. Nineveh would have been gone. I mean, wiped off. And God was going to destroy Nineveh within 40 days. But a miracle took place. A supernatural event took place. And Nineveh is still there today because God chose to use one man. And the man ran from God. But God tracked him down. And he finally agreed with God. And when the man agreed with God, God did His work. God didn't save you until you agreed with Him. Think about it. God didn't touch you. God didn't touch you. God didn't do these miracles that these people testified. God didn't take them cigarettes until you agreed that God wanted you to take them away. And honestly, you sat underneath that tree, Papa, and did not have the slightest idea that God was going to do that. How many people you knew that tried to quit smoking on their own? And tried to even Christians pray. You went to First Baptist Church of Crop Springs, Louisiana. I guarantee you, the deacons and all of them probably smoked. Chain smoked. Why did God put that on your heart? Why did God convict you of that, Papa? Why did God do that to you? Because God wanted you to experience that supernatural event for you to know and for you to be able to sit here almost 50 years later or 40 years later and stand in this little church and tell us tonight, I believe God can do the supernatural. God is still alive. He's still alive. Lazarus was dead for 4 days. But friend, he's not late. He's always on time. Believe God. Agree with God. Amen. Just agree with Him. Amen. God chooses to do that. And shout victory. Amen. Paul tried to get God to take that thorn in the flesh away. Right? But God didn't agree with him. In Paul's eyes, he said, God, you remove this, man, I can do so much more for you. And I would imagine Paul, if God answered Paul's prayer and God removed that, he probably poked his chest out like a peacock, I mean, prowled around, like all the things he did. But God had to keep him humble. Because God wants the glory. You know, I honestly believe, no doubt, many, many times why God doesn't use some people is because God won't get the glory if He did something great in their life. Amen. It's important that we strive to give God glory. The word combustion. I was hoping that Megan was going to be here because she did that great testimony about how God showed her that fire triangle. The word combustion happens. You know what when something combusts, we learned in fire academy in school, that, you know, you take a piece of furniture, like a piece of dry furniture set by a window or something, and maybe curtain, window curtains, and they can just, it'll get so hot in there. And when it, the right temperature, the right amount of oxygen, that thing will just light on fire all by itself. But I looked up this the definition of combustion, and it says, when a planet is in conjunction with the sun, and the sun, or whichever one is moved, the degrees where it is actually closer to the sun, it'll catch on fire. When the planet, when a person is close enough to the sun, and degrees to look at him moves, to look at, the closer you get to Jesus, the more on fire you're going to get. And it may not happen tonight. God may not do it for you tonight. God may not do something supernatural for you. God may not touch you and feel you tomorrow. But don't turn back. Don't distance yourself. Church, don't distance yourself. Wednesday night crowd, don't distance. Don't be discouraged on a Wednesday night or Sunday night to continue coming to church. Because when God chooses, we're agreeing with God. Combustion will take place. Amen. Well, somebody get lit on fire. Amen. We call it the wildfire around here. Amen. Praise Jonah. Jonah realized that God's ways was higher than his. I was thinking about that song. I think Miss Donna sings it. You sing that song, "Your Ways Are Higher Than Mine"? It says, "It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time. Your ways are higher than mine. One day I'm sure I'll look back and marvel at how you knew best all along. You see from heaven, you know it's the hard times that makes my faith steady and strong. So I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time. Your ways are higher than mine. So when I start to doubt, help me believe. Somewhere far above me, your ways are higher than mine. I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm going to trust your work, your will, and your time." Amen. I just want to bring you a little lesson again about agreeing with God. Jonah disagreed with God. Wound up in a whale's belly. Let me encourage you tonight, each and every one of us, don't disagree with God. Let God, when God speaks to you, just jump all over that thing. Amen. It's best to do it. It's best. You know, it's a crazy thing. I don't know. I hate using personal experiences, but I was reading my Bible yesterday morning, and I'll get up and get dressed, and I'll turn the music on, I'll sit my Bible by the bed there, and I'll get dressed and stuff, and I'll stand there. Ain't a whole lot of room in the camper, but I'll stand there and I'll read my Bible on the bed. It's just a comfortable spot. I can lean like that and reading my Bible, and I went to walk out of the room. God said, "Nope, continue reading." I was like, went back over there. I read about 3 or 4 or 5 more verses, and I was like, God's like, "Nope. You're not done yet." I was like, "Have you ever felt like?" I was like, "Okay, Lord." I'll read another one. "Okay, what is it? What did you want to show me?" I mean, I'm trying to build a house. You got to understand me. If I get something on my mind, I'm wanting to. But I want to read my Bible. I want to take time for God. I'm just being silly tonight, but I'm just telling you. I just felt like God was saying, "Nope, that ain't right." I said, "Mm-hmm, okay." Read some more. Started walking off. God said, "Do it again." Until God was done. I just wanted to make sure. I just want to make sure I was in agreement with God. You know what I mean? Amen. Let's stand together tonight.